This is the League of Women Voters, serving Snohomish County for over 50 years, bringing you information on topics of interest to the residents of the North Puget Sound. The League is nonpartisan and welcomes everyone, men and women, as members. We locally produce our LWV's Magazine on the Air program on 90.7 FM KSER and broadcast it the second Monday of each month. Stay tuned at the end of the program for more information.
Hello, welcome. This is Lisa Utter with the League of Women Voters magazine show on the air. Voters will be selecting new leaders for two of the larger cities in Snohomish County, Arlington and Edmonds, this November. And today we will be interviewing the mayoral candidates for Arlington. We have Barb Tolbert in the studio with us, and Steve Baker, who will be joining us by phone. And later in the second half of the show, we will have Dave Erling, who is an Edmonds mayoral candidate. I just wanted to let everyone know that League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization, and we have invited all of the candidates for each of the positions. And some of the, Mike Cooper specifically was not able to make it. So let me introduce you to the Arlington candidates. And if you could just say hello so that people recognize your voices. Barb Tolbert.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you. And Steve Baker.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. And I hope we don't have any technical glitches, which I'm sure we won't. I'm going to allow, the other thing is we will be taking questions from the audience. We have asked all the candidates to participate, and because this program is designed to inform, we're requesting that the questions be directed in a way that they would apply to all of the candidates. And let me give you the call-in number to ask questions. That would be 425-303-9070. And I'll repeat that again numerous times, but it's 303-9070 throughout the program. So we will start with introductory statements from each of the candidates, and I had said 2 minutes since, you know, if you go a little bit over, I'll just wave at you. I don't know what I'll do with Steve, but I'll let him know. Let's start with Barb, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Fine? Okay.
All right. Lisa, thank you, and thanks to the League of Women Voters for having this program so the voters in Arlington all around Snohomish County get a look at the candidates. I'm running for office for mayor of Arlington. I've been active in the Arlington community and a successful businesswoman for 18 years. In 1994, I became the executive director of the Arlington Fly-In. When I started the position there, we had 60 volunteers and staff and a budget of $60,000. This past year, we completed our event in July with 519 volunteers and staff and a budget of $500,000. I have experience in leading people, volunteers, large organizations. I'm experienced in budgets, making hard decisions, balancing priorities. I'm also active in the community. I currently work with the city on the Economic Development Committee. I have done that for the last 8 years, as well as the Airport Commission. And I also believe in volunteering in the community. So I recently ran the EMS levy for the city of Arlington in April. We were very successful and having emergency medical services in our community for in perpetuity. I also do work with the Cascade Valley Hospital Foundation Board, and I'm on the board of the Arlington Smoky Point Chamber of Commerce.
Terrific. Thank you very much. And Steve, would you like to introduce yourself? Mr. Baker?
I'm Steve Baker of Arlington, presently on the Arlington City Council and Mayor Pro Tem. First, I want to thank Michelle Valentine for the invitation to participate in this program tonight of the League of Women Voters of Snohomish County. That's very nice of them to do that. It's always nice to see people getting involved when there's such apathy these days for getting involved. I've lived in Arlington for 32 years. My wife, Priscilla, was born and raised in Arlington and just retired from Providence after 37 and a half years. We also have three children in the area. So first, people have asked, why are you running for mayor? Well, I've had a passion for this city for many years, since moving here 32 years ago. This has been obvious to many citizens because of the 10 years dedication to the citizens serving on the city council and elected by my colleagues as mayor pro tem. I believe in the protection of the citizens. It's always been my first priority because government isn't always too sympathetic to the people's needs. The citizens need public safety and need to feel protected in their own homes. In this time of economic downturn, we have to be mindful of the rising living costs as well as taxes. People cannot have their taxes raised every time there is a shortfall. The elderly and the vulnerable are at the most risk at the present time. I highly believe in protection of the businesses. I've worked for small business all of my working career, as well as owning my own contracting business for the last 32 years. This gives me a good understanding of the importance of overregulation and fees. If the businesses aren't protected or encouraged, they will close and we will have more empty buildings in town. The tax dollars decrease, then the citizens receive less services or possibly their taxes will have to go up to compensate. My goal would be neither would happen. I feel that through careful management, sharing resources, encourage employees to come up with cost-saving ideas, as well as using more volunteers, we can accomplish these goals.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So so clearly both of you have kind of mentioned kind of economic development in the town of Arlington and how important that is. And
if yeah.
Both. I mean, obviously that's important regionally as well as for the city in these economic times. Would you like to talk, let me ask you specifically about what you think Arlington can do to enhance economic development or to protect jobs within the city? And we will start with Steve this time, and if you don't mind.
Okay. And many times in the past, I've come up with different ideas, and they've been ignored. But I believe that if you want to cut the way things are done and find better ways of doing things, the employees themselves will come up with them. And this has been our practice in times past in construction and different places that I've worked. And the employees always come up with better ways, and which would save money and save their jobs. I believe we need to really go out and encourage businesses with less regulation, and because too many regulations just scares people off.
Okay, thank you. And Barb?
Well, having the privilege of sitting on the city's Economic Development Committee from the time that we developed the first strategic plan for economic development, one of the things that we realized is we have a very special place in Arlington, and we have a lot to offer. We have a wonderful quality of life for the employees. We have a very supportive business culture to the city. We have active merchants and chamber associations to help support business. What we were lacking was some of the infrastructure that would help a new business arrive in town and be able to cost-effectively do business in our town and develop a place for people to work. The city has worked very hard in the last 8 years to remove some of those hurdles and to do some upgrades to our system. We still have some work to do. We have to look with our diminishing revenues that we have to where we make prudent investment and we have a good return on that investment so that we can bring more businesses in. It's not a secret to anyone in Arlington, the traffic problems we have on 172nd in the Smoky Point area that choke off access to our businesses. On the other side of that, though, we do have a lot to offer. We have a lot of open space. We have an industrial overlay that's going in. 10 years ago, Arlington boasted the best jobs-to-household ratio in Snohomish County. the economy has taken a toll on that. And so we not only want to look to preserving the businesses we have, we need to go out and form partnerships and market to have new businesses come in. We do have some of our residents that need to be put back to work in family wage jobs.
Thank you. And you kind of alluded to this with the quality of life question. One of the challenges, of course, with Arlington is that a lot of people have moved there for a more rural feeling, and there have been a lot of several contentious issues about development. Can you speak to the balancing and how you see that struggle and how to protect that quality of life that you're speaking of? And we'll start with Barb on this one.
I can. Arlington in its geographical makeup is very lucky, and when we plan prudently, we can take advantage of how that natural geography lays. We have a great industrial area around the airport with a lot of open space and a smaller amount of residential and not high-density residential. These are perfect places for industry to land. We have a beautiful historic downtown that has a very walkable retail approach. With the construction and the finishing of the Gap and the Centennial Trail, it lends itself to this wonderful tourist day visit kind of culture, along with some of the needs that we have for residents. Our challenges lie in our big box retail, high volume retail areas, which would be out on Smoky Point. And the challenge is that we don't own all of the roads that egress into that area. We have a state highway that cuts right through the middle of it. We're dependent on the partnerships that we derive with outside organizations to drive funding to resolve these issues. Arlington also has a unique way at times. It can be very parochial. We're very proud in our town. We love Arlington. It has a lot to offer. We maybe need to look a little bit outside to our neighbors when they're developing and impacting our quality of life for our citizens and how we can help them make those plans just a little bit better.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mr. Baker, before I ask you to answer that, I would just remind people that we will take calls from the audience, and the number is 425-303-9070. And Steve Baker, again, the question was kind of how you balance that that economic development against the quality of life that many people move to Arlington to capture.
With that, many citizens don't realize that there's a Growth Management Act, and in that act, you have to take so many of the people that are coming into the state. It's all divided up. And with that, we have started a number of years ago trying to be proactive in locating those areas and to write the rules up so that those areas will look nice, and they are balanced with businesses as well as the home. We've been very proactive on the Smoky Point Boulevard in coming up with a plan for the future, which will be now till maybe 20, 30 years down the line, to make that a lot more usable and look better than many cities that just let their growth go unchecked. And the full council has been very active in that so that we don't have a mess in the end. And things have happened now where the growth has stopped for a while, but we know that it'll come back, so this has given us more time to be proactive in that way. So we're looking at keeping the city beautiful and to where people want to come. We have a wonderful town here.
Okay, thank you. Again, a reminder that our number is 303-9070, and you're listening to KSER 90.7 in Everett. And we are interviewing Barb Tolbert and Steve Baker, the candidates for Arlington mayor. So Margaret Larson has been the mayor for, I think we have 8 years?
8 years, yeah.
Eight years. Yeah. And so is there anything that you feel that you would like to take on that kind of is new and different from her leadership style? And we will start with Steve on this one.
Margaret Larson brought a lot to the city. She did a very, very good job. And her biggest passion was Save the Valley through the TDR program, the Transfer of Development Rights. And I would like to see that progress on because that keeps the building out of the valley and into the other areas and keeps the farmland there. It's a very good idea. We thought it would be going good by now, but with the economic downturn, it has virtually stopped. And but I'd like to continue something she started, the volunteer program. And I would like to see far more volunteers because it brings the citizens into a feeling of ownership of the town. And people, once they start volunteering, whether it's helping plant or take care of the parks, they really become involved and donate and everything else. And this has done really good. We have a new park on the Graster Farm that we want to do that very shortly in the next couple years, and we're hoping that people will really get involved in that one too. I would like to start an incentive program for the employees to come up with ways of saving the city money. It's worked in other cities, and I'd like to see it enacted here. I guess that's all for now.
Okay, and can someone remind me? I know that Arlington both was a spot to accept TDR, that you accepted allotments, and it's TDR is Transfer of Development Rights. And Mr. Baker was talking about where you transfer those to more urban areas in order
right.
to save rural areas.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
And my recollection is that there's, I mean, as you said, have they actually taken some development rights? Have they increased the density in any of the more urban areas of Arlington? So far, that has not happened. We haven't had any successful transfers up there.
Not
yet.
At this time.
Yeah,
no.
I think there
right.
have been some in King County, as I recall. But it's,
and one in Snohomish County.
And one in Snohomish County. Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to get that kind of background. And Barb, did you want to talk about, things that, you would change or initiatives that you might bring in?
Certainly.
Margaret.
Certainly. I think I agree with many residents that Margaret Larson has done a wonderful job, has been a great steward of Arlington in the last 8 years. I think I agree with Steve, my opponent, the Transfer of Development Rights program, saving the Skagit Valley is one area that we didn't make as much progress in as we'd like to, and we really need a next leader who wants to move that forward. The other area that I think I'm very interested in is working with ways to bring new businesses into town, becoming a little bit more sophisticated in the permitting processes and our incentives so that we can locate some of these family wage jobs back in Arlington. When I moved to the Arlington community 20-some years ago, it was a wonderful place to both live and work. And there was something about our residents working and living in the city that lent to this volunteerism, that lent to them having time to become active and civically involved in the city. And I think that's very important to the culture of who we are in Arlington. The volunteer programs have been very successful. Arlington is unique, and everybody who lives there will tell you this, because of the huge amount of civic pride in the residents that's exhibited every year with lots of events and lots of philanthropic measures. We have a food bank that needs to be rebuilt in the next couple of years, and we'll have a drive underway for that. And so there are lots of opportunities. I don't think Arlington's looking for wholesale change. I think it's looking to just continue to move up the ladder to becoming the best city in Snohomish County.
Well, there's lots of competition there. But if we all keep trying our best. make the county a better place to live. So we have a call-in question, which is, what is your position on the coal trains through South Arlington to Anacortes? The trains can take up to 20 minutes to pass the railroad crossing. And let's start with Barb.
Thank you. Albert. There are very few north to south transitions for transportation in Western Washington. We see that all the way from Vancouver to Vancouver in Washington. We have an I-5 corridor, we have a 405 corridor, and we have a couple of rail lines. We're very challenged to have a way to move goods and services at times through the same places that we move our people and our communities through. The railroads are owned by Burlington Northern, Santa Fe. They're not in the jurisdiction of Arlington. I have not any knowledge that we can dictate to them what the schedules could be of moving those goods and services through. But it's certainly something that we should ask the city leaders.
Okay. We'll ask Mr. Steve Baker to respond to that as well.
I would agree with most of that. Now, Arlington, that they would not come within probably 3 miles of Arlington. So it really wouldn't have any effect at all on Arlington or any crossing. I can understand where Marysville's a little upset by it, and I probably don't blame them. I don't know what the answer is there, because it's kind of hard to dictate anything to Burlington. Even if we want a train crossing fixed, it's very difficult. So it really won't impact Arlington at all. The coal train.
The coal trains.
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't know that Arlington is. I mean, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad has not contacted the city, as far as you know, about any projects like that.
I really doubt it. If they have, we have not heard
about it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about the Growth Management Act and the kind of extensions that have been given on updating the plans because of the economic downturn. Are there any specific initiatives that you think the city could take in order to utilize this downtime in order to ensure that the quality of life? I mean, you alluded to it before, but you didn't kind of do any specifics. And we'll start with, we'll start with Steve on this one.
Yes, and it's actually the downturn almost was good in a way, because we could step back and get the things done before building overtook our rules and regulations and our planning. And this gave us a very good time to get our new sewer plant online and many things that needed to be done before they started these projects. So it's been good. We're updating all of our codes and writing new ones to make the developments look a certain and a decent way to protect the image of Arlington. So the downturn hasn't been bad in that sense, because it was going so fast there for a while that we were having a hard time keeping up with it and trying to block unwanted things that were going to be built. So it has been good, and when we're all done and things pick up again, we'll be ready for them.
Okay, thank you. And Barb Tolbert?
It has been a breathing time for most cities and municipalities, in fact, that they could catch up to the planning. And Arlington has not slacked in that area. The break in the comprehensive plan timelines have helped us to. We recently annexed Island Crossing area just a couple of years ago, and this downturn has given us time to put together a West Arlington area subplan so that we can see how that looks, actually using form-based codes rather than the traditional zoning codes that had been used in the past. These are new concepts to us in Arlington. We see them in other cities in the county, similar to the Mill Creek Town Centers or what's happening in Bothell. So this has been a very good time, and I think the city staff at Arlington gets high grades for taking advantage of this downturn. As Steve said, going through the codes and just making sure things that we maybe haven't reviewed in a number of years because we weren't catching our breath from the development that we have been able to. And I think we'll be well positioned to get the kind of growth and the kind of livability and quality of life in our community once this downturn turns back up.
Thank you. So we're almost at station identification time. Our next guest has not, he is here. So we'd like to do a closing statement from each of you, just 2 or 3 minutes to talk about your goals as you should you win this position and what you'd like to see in the future. So let's start with Barb, if you don't mind.
Thank you. Again, thank you for the opportunity, and thanks to the League of Women Voters. I just want people to know that I do think that Arlington is a special place. It's a place where there's a lot of opportunity for our future. We have a wonderful makeup of the town. We talked a little bit about the historic downtown, the Smoky Point area for our bigger retail, the airport manufacturing area. The challenge is going to be like other cities are facing. It's the shrinking city revenues that are going to pose the biggest challenge to our future. My commitment is to work with the city residents, the staff, the city council members to make the necessary tough decisions while we protect the vital services and the quality of life that we so enjoy in Arlington. Those would be my commitments to the city of Arlington and its residents.
Okay, thank you very much, Barb Tolbert. And Steve Baker?
Well, I'd like to say thank you once again, and especially to the Women League of Voters. It's really nice to have this concerned people ask questions. And I've enjoyed this time of campaigning and answering questions to many people. And it's kind of nice to see where you take notice where you stand and answer them, and hopefully people will go along with you. But my goal is to see that Arlington grows in a very respectful way and doesn't take away from what we have today, the livability and the look and the feel of Arlington. I'm a strong believer in transparency and fiscal responsibility, and I've always wanted that, and will accept no less. I believe it'll take a strong leader that will not accept it can't be done as an answer. And I will continue to serve my community no matter what goes on. And I've fully enjoyed serving the last 10 years on the city council, and hopefully as their next mayor, I will serve that position well. And I want to thank you very much, and I'll also thank the Women Voters once again, League of Women Voters.
Okay.
So thank you,
and thank both of you for joining us this afternoon.
Yep.
I mean this evening, and both of these candidates will be on the ballot. On your ballot in November. And congratulations to both of you on making it through the primary, and good luck.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And, so you were listening to KSCR 90.7 in Everett, Washington, and we are now entering the second half of our show. I would remind you that we will be taking phone calls at 303-9070 because we would like questions that are directed so that either candidate could answer them, not personalized questions. Unfortunately, we will only have one candidate with us for this next half. Candidate Dave Erling is here for the Edmonds mayoral position. Mike Cooper emailed us earlier today and said that he would not be able to make it. So, hello, Dave. Thank you very much for being here. Could you say something so they can recognize your voice?
Good afternoon, I guess early evening, Lisa.
And good afternoon to you. So, let's start with a 2 or 3 minute introduction of yourself, if you don't mind, and why you're running.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. Maybe since my opponent wasn't able to join us, I may get closer to 3 minutes than 2 minutes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I'm teasing you. Well, thank you very much, Lisa, and thank you, too, to the League of Women Voters for giving us this opportunity to have a discussion about some of the issues that are going on and across the county, and in our case, in the city of Edmonds. I think that people are probably pretty aware in the community of Edmonds that I have been doorbelling enthusiastically for the last 6 or 8 weeks. As part of that process, I've doorbelled probably 3,500 homes at this point, and I intend to do the same number during the general election. That's a lot of doorsteps to be standing on and have an opportunity to speak with some of the people in the community. And, of course, there are lots of issues that come up when you doorbell, as you know, Lisa, from when you were a public official. But there really seems to be three main themes that are unfolding as I've talked to all of these folks. People are anxious for new leadership in our community. There has been for some time a feeling of, I guess I would characterize it as chaos at the elected level. I think people are becoming increasingly concerned about it. It seemed to be the number one issue that I ran into people going across the city, the very deep concern that leadership simply isn't there. There appears to be a bit of a void, and they're asking to have it filled. The second thing is, in priority, I think, is the city budget. All of us know that the cities and counties, the states, the federal government are all having issues related to financing problems. People are aware of that out there. They're tired of hearing about taking 2 months to purchase the Skipper's property, knowing they didn't have any money to start with. They're tired of the 6 to 9 month debate on levies. The council has finally come to determination to put three levies in front of the voters this fall. But they're tired of that. They simply want to have the budget problem fixed. And the third point that I would mention, and related to the budget problem, is the fact that many of the people on these doorsteps understand that we need to generate more revenue in the city. The revenue, not only short-term, but long-term, too. We know that we have a limited size and area for the business community to generate additional funds. And people are looking for creative ways in which they can expand that revenue so that we can keep taxes low in our community. And I think the last point I would make is based on the outcome of the primary election itself. It's clear to me that the citizens of Edmonds have those three problems high in their mind. They are clearly looking for new leadership, and I'm hopeful that I'm the person that can provide that to the community.
Okay, thank you very much. And given so the budget is obviously a high priority down there. Can you kind of give us your opinions on the levies as they've been presented, and whether you think they completely address the issue, or how you would approach it if the levies pass and if they fail?
Well, first of all, just in sort of a general statement, I have serious concerns about the levies that the council has put on the ballot this November. Now, for me at least, is not a good time to be talking about asking taxpayers for more money, especially just to pay for basic operating expenses. I'm especially concerned about the levy to put $1 million a year increase into the city's general fund. The other two issues, one related to street overlays and one related to parks, I still need some more information on. But it's clear to me that, for instance, now in the general fund, there was a car tab tax paid or approved by the voters. And I think many of the people in the community assume that some of that money would be used for street overlays. We are now told that they will not be, that money is not being used for street overlays. It, in fact, is being used for other purposes. The city council has just approved contracts to city employees that last for 4 years. In these very troubled economic times, it's hard to imagine committing the city to a four-year agreement. Were I mayor, I probably would have tried to put together a two-year agreement due to the uncertain financial situation that the city finds itself in right now. You're not going to know where you're at in 4 years. You definitely don't know now where you're going to be in 2 years. I think bottom line, the city needs to start spending more wisely before coming to the taxpayers for additional funds. The council's, I think, bad choice on levies shouldn't come as much of a surprise. The current mayor proposed a four-year levy earlier this year. The council, however, has reduced that to a three-year term, which is more reasonable. I think this this issue offers a clear difference in the race, and I'll make sure as mayor of the city, spending is done wisely before we go to the voters asking for more funds.
Thank you. Mike Cooper, I guess, has joined us on the line. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Terrific. We've already done opening kind of introductions, so I'll give you like 3.5 minutes to do an introduction if you're ready to do that.
Sure. Well, I'll just I won't try to use the 3.5 minutes because I want to have plenty of time to answer questions. But I'll just say that it's been an honor for me to serve as the mayor of Edmonds since July of 2010, and I am looking forward to serving a full 4 year term. I'm very proud of my accomplishments, both working to keep a balanced budget without layoffs and making sure that we work towards sustainability in our budgeting practices. The important thing to note about that is that I have a smaller budget with no layoffs and continue to provide services than the previous two budgets in the city since I became mayor. And I'm preparing to deliver a budget in for the 2012 budget year that also will not lay off any existing city employees. That being said, we've got some real challenges ahead that are financial. I'm working really hard to make sure that we have an open and transparent financial system so the public can see what we're doing, so that we're open and honest with them. In addition, I've got a lot of accomplishments in both economic development and bringing new business to the city, over $16 million of new commercial construction going on in the city right now, and I'm quite proud of that, bringing new businesses like Dick's Drive-In, Panera Bread, and the expansion of the Swedish Cancer Treatment Center into the city to demonstrate our administration's commitment to bringing new businesses to the city. And finally, the work that I've done on clean energy and bringing more sustainable energy decisions to our city policies where we actually are lowering the cost to the taxpayers because we're making clean energy systems. And with that, I'll close my remarks and just say that I'm looking forward to serving as mayor another 4 years, and I'm very proud to serve the citizens of Edmonds, the city that I've called home since 1965.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me just remind people that this is the League of Women. This is Lisa Utter with the League of Women Voters Radio Magazine on the air. And we will take questions from the audience at 303-9070, and that's 425, of course. You're listening to 90.7 KSCR. So economic development has been a goal of Edmonds for quite some time, and the downtown seems to struggle a lot, and I noticed a lot of empty storefronts when I was last down there, which is kind of true of all cities. I would like you to talk about. I know, Mike, you alluded to the new investments. Can you just expand on what your plans are to enhance that in the future? And I'll give you 2 minutes for that.
Sure. Okay. Well, we have a very active economic development department, and that I'm very proud of, and we are continuing to look and attempt to attract new businesses to the city. I can't specifically talk about any of those new businesses because we keep those things confidential until we actually have an agreement with the people that come to town. But we work very aggressively. I think the style of approach that we used on Dick's Drive-In, we were the only one of the cities that were competing for Dick's Drive-In that actually took our economic development director, our planning director, and our mayor down to meet with the Spady family to talk to them about why Edmonds was a good city. And it's easy to sell our city, and that's the kind of thing that we're doing, and that's with Mr. Clifton's work, and that's why we're showing the growth that we're showing when a lot of other cities are struggling. That being said, we need to do some serious planning and redevelopment in our Highway 99s, our Westgate, and our Five Corners neighborhood, and those processes have started, and those will help us attract new kinds of businesses in addition to having new housing opportunities available.
Thank you. And Dave, Erling?
Sure. There are some real promising things going on. First of all, I'd like to mention the business improvement development area that is currently underway by many of the business people in town to try and help generate a more positive setting, more positive outlook in the city. And I understand that they are getting close to being able to launch a business improvement district. In addition to that, there is a strategic plan review going on in the city right now. I'm anxious to find out what the outcome of that is. Unfortunately, we won't know what the outcome is because it's just beginning for some time. There's a couple of very positive things going on in the community right now. The Port District is taking a hard look at Harbor Square and how they might redevelop that area. Conceptually now, I would support the process that they're looking at doing. However, we don't know what the outcome will be, and we'll have to wait and see what it looks like at the end. However, conceptually, what they're looking for is retail on the first level, having housing units above that. In other words, trying to create a newer neighborhood in the community. We have access to the state highway there so that the infrastructure is in part in place. It's close to the commuter rail station. The young professionals would look forward to purchasing condos, walking across the street to go to work, get on the commuter train, go into Seattle, come back out, utilizing the retail and restaurant areas in the newly developed Harbor Square. It's a long-term plan, but nonetheless one that would generate an enormous amount of revenue on an annual basis to the city. In addition to that, back in the 80s, we did a project called the Main Streets Project. Long story short, the business community basically raised about $140,000. We cleaned up, painted, fixed up stores, brought in experts to teach people how to better run their businesses. During that time, and in a time that we had many more vacancies in town then, as we do now, we filled up almost all of the vacant spots. We could identify 50 to 60 new jobs that were created in town. And I'd like to have a hard look at replicating a program similar to that. Those two pieces, along with developing walkable neighborhoods at the Westgate area and at the Five Corners area, should be keys to our economic development on a long-term basis.
Okay, thank you. And I remind our listeners that you can call in questions. We're talking to the Edmonds mayoral candidates, Dave Erling and Mike Cooper. And the number to call is 425-303-9070. And we would love to have your questions. One of the things that's been touched on here is sustainability and walkability and dealing with transportation issues. Both of you have a lot of experience with transportation, I know. So why don't you talk about kind of new projects or initiatives that you think you could take if you had the next 4 years, and we'll start with Dave.
Well, As you know, my work with Sound Transit and Community Transit, as well as the Puget Sound Regional Council, had a real focus on transportation. And that's why I was speaking in the previous question about the use of the commuter rail station. We had a standoff there a number of years ago. The mayor of Everett at that time simply wanted to have more bus service in our community. And we had a pretty major disagreement that I was pushing hard for commuter rail. Thankfully, my arguments prevailed, and I think we simply need to try and enhance the quality of transportation that we have in town. The city has taken some positive steps in developing the walkable neighborhoods. I want to give credit where that's due, both at Five Corners and at Westgate. But that's really key to reducing much of the emission problems that we have in our area right now, is not having people drive 3 miles to QFC or to the family grocer, but actually being able to walk to the store, walk to the bank, walk to the hairdressers and the barber. And I think if we can enhance that idea over time, it will not only help clean up the environment, lessen the traffic that's on the road, and at the same time reduce emissions within our area.
Thank you. Mike Cooper, would you like to respond to that as well?
Sure. Well, first, I want to give my opponent credit for mentioning the strategic planning process that my administration went to the city council and recommended. And a large part of what's going to happen in that strategic planning process, the consultants hired, it's a 9-month process. Many of these issues will get addressed as part of that process. But I think it's important to note the kinds of things that already we've been doing. Under my leadership, the city council passed a complete streets ordinance, which really says in our future planning of our street infrastructure, we need to plan not only for cars and transit, but also bicycles, pedestrians, and people with disabilities. That's part of really good land use planning as it relates to transportation. We have to have walkable neighborhoods. We have to have places for people to charge their electric vehicles. We have to have ways for people to walk, for the disabled to get around, and for people on bicycles to get around safely. If we don't do that, we're not addressing the total infrastructure for transportation. The work that we're already doing on Westgate and Five Corners and the planning that we're doing there and the things that we'd all like to do on the waterfront, whether it's simply just Harbor Square, which the port owns, or whether it's other privately held properties on the waterfront, could also be a transportation-related land use planning where, again, we not only plan for the walkability of the neighborhood, but for the convenience for bicycles, for transit, and for people with disabilities to get around safely as they move throughout the community. It's critically important that we balance that system. The other thing that I've really focused a lot on just before I close in talking to other organizations, and which I think is why I got the endorsement of the Washington Conservation Voters, is that I'm focused on not only how to get people from Seattle to Edmonds and back as they commute to work. That's important. But we need to focus on an infrastructure that moves people around the community and reduces emissions locally within the community. Finds ways through our complete streets and our Main Street project that we're trying to fund now that looks for ways to reduce emissions locally in the community, not just focusing on long mileage commutes, which is important. But now it's time for us to focus on moving people within the community safely, both walking, transit, bicycling, and people with disabilities.
Thank you. So following up on the sustainability issue, both of you have, you know, have such a vast array of experience in the state and dealing with these issues. Edmonds, of course, is wonderful. One of the reasons is because it is right on Puget Sound. And we all, you know, Governor Gregoire has been working on a plan for Puget Sound, but we don't seem to have moved very far forward on that yet in many ways. And there's some rumbling about that. So I'm wondering kind of how you see the city as being kind of a driver in maintaining that asset that makes Edmonds such a wonderful place to live. And we'll start with Mike Cooper.
Great, thank you. And that's a great question. I think, you know, again, as it relates to transportation it's important for us to focus on our methodology that we build infrastructure. In other words, we need to do our part to contain runoff and contain the pollution that goes into Puget Sound. It's proven we cannot depend on the state to fund that. They don't have the money to fund it. But we can do some things with incentives and better planning, requiring pervious surfaces and better ways to deal with runoff internally in our own planning efforts. That's going to be the critical key to how we move forward. Again, the state's working hard, but it's such a big problem. If we do our own small piece, by cleaning up every stream and beginning to clean up the marsh and beginning to plan where the runoff goes and how the runoff is handled, we will be able to better prepare our community to make sure in the long term we have a cleaner Puget Sound. It's a small effort in this little community, but if every community did that, if we became the leader and every community followed our lead, then we would have a much more successful effort in the long run.
Okay, and
I don't have any particular argument with what the mayor just said. The one piece that I would point out, though, is that in talking recently with the executive director of the Puget Sound Regional Council, he pointed out that the city of Edmonds has really lost a lot of the regional influence that it used to have. And it seems to me, and I understand the argument about doing our own piece to take care of the Puget Sound, I get all of that. However, we need to reestablish our credentials at the regional and the state level. I think that right now, as I understand it, Edmonds does not have a good ongoing representation at the Puget Sound Regional Council. And frankly, the executive director indicated that in many areas we just seem to be kind of a non-player. In order to accomplish what I think is best for the city of Edmonds, it's not only to do the small pieces that Mike just talked about, but it's also to become more actively involved at the regional level so that we can have more influence at that level.
Okay. And this is Lisa Utter with the Edmonds mayoral candidates, Mike Cooper and Dave Erling. We have just a few minutes left, and so I'm going to let you guys divide that up with closing statements, if you don't mind, and we will have Dave go first.
Well, thank you very much. And I'd just kind of like to go back to the comments that I made in the beginning. That is, being on the doorsteps of folks in the community over the last 6 to 8 weeks, to listen to the people face-to-face so that you become more than of a person than just a picture that you put in the paper or is on a piece of election mail is so much more important. You really begin to understand the real issues of folks and what they want to have done at the city level. And I know that the mayor's view of the world is that he certainly has provided leadership. He's indicated some things this evening that he wants to speak in favor of. But at the same time, as I talk to people on the doorsteps, it's clear to me that they're looking for a new kind of leadership in town so that we avoid the bickering that is seen going on at the community, or excuse me, at the council level on a weekly basis on the TV broadcast. It's the infighting. It's the political agendas. People are just exhausted from it, and they want to see our city move forward. They want to have a new tone set to the government. So that there is not this feeling of back and forth and disagreement. We need to have new leadership in our town, and I hope I am the one that is selected to be that leader.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Cooper, Mike Cooper?
Sure, thank you. And again, I believe that the voters have new leadership, and I'll just start with that. I look forward to serving for four more years as the mayor of this city and continuing the efforts I have to put this city back on the right track with a more open, transparent, and honest government. The new leadership came in July of 2010 when I took office, and we're finding that out with now with some of the things that are beginning to surface about the old administration that supports my opponent. and I'm quite frankly looking forward to continuing with the council. The council doesn't always agree, and they don't always get along, and they don't always agree with me, but that's the way a representative democracy works. In the end of the day, the council does get along and puts forward good efforts to do things on clean energy, on complete streets, on sustainable budgets that hold the line, that don't put our city in greater debt. But it's important to note that even though we're doing all those efforts to hold the line and not go in debt, we're losing money rapidly because of declining property values that we really have no control over. And so that we have to really work together with the community and with all the stakeholder groups involved, and that includes the labor unions, the business community, and the city council, to find a way to move this city forward. And I'm doing that with my stakeholder budget review process that's ongoing right now, because I'm asking 15 dedicated citizens, what are your priorities? What do you want to see in the future of this city? I believe that the people in Edmonds like their community and are looking forward to the style of leadership that I have, and that's to lead this city forward in a progressive way and not look backwards 10 to 15 years about what used to happen. And I look forward to their vote, and hopefully they vote for me in November. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And so will both of you be at Dick's Drive-In on opening day?
I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, sure, I'll be there. I think it's scheduled for the first part of November.
Yeah, I believe it is. Okay, and Mr. Early would like to say just a little something extra here.
Well, the only point I want to make, and I guess it's mostly in response to the length of the 1 minute I thought I was supposed to do.
Oh, no, was it two? I'm sorry.
Oh, you were told what you said before was one.
Okay.
So that's what I was focused on.
Okay.
So I guess the one thing that I do want to bring up, and I'm respectful of the comments that my opponent has made, the primary election seems to me to have been a clear indication of how people feel about the motion forward in the community. There was a clear decision made by the city. There was a substantial win in the primary for me, and I look forward to enhancing that margin and becoming the next mayor of Edmonds. Thank you.
Okay. And I would like to thank both of you for participating. We really appreciate it. I'm sorry that we didn't get some other calls, so you had to deal with my questions. I wish you both luck in the election. Both Dave Erling and Mike Cooper will be on the ballot for the Edmonds mayor position in November. And this is Lisa Utter at KSER 90.7 in Everett.
This edition of the League of Women Voters magazine on the air on 90.7 FM KSCR in Everett has been produced by the League of Women Voters of Snohomish County, celebrating over 50 years of service in Snohomish County. The League is a nonpartisan political organization that encourages informed and active participation at all levels of government. We welcome membership by both men and women. For more information about the League, call us at 425-334-8922 or email us at snohomish@lwvwa.org. Again, the phone number is 425-334-8922 or email us at snohomish@lwvwa.org. You can check out our website at lwvwa.org/Snohomish. If you would like to hear this program again or missed parts of it, you can go to our link at lwvwa.org/Snohomish/radio.html and click to listen to this or other programs of your choice. Remember to tune in every month for another edition of the League of Women Voters magazine on the air on the second Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 90.7 FM KSER Everett.